I'm obviously not a singer. My wife's a singer in the family. But we're going to be talking about a famous song from Fiddler on the Roof. And that song is called Tradition. You maybe have heard that, I'm sure. So, what do I do here? Like this?
You're not talking, that's why.
Does that work? Okay. I'm going to lead off. Before we read, I'm going to read the chapter because it really is very self-explanatory. However, I'm just going to talk a little bit about the Mosaic law history, and that's really what we're dealing with here today. The Pharisees obviously were masters at knowing. They memorized and studied the Mosaic laws. And they passed on the tradition of the laws. And the tradition is understood as that which is passed, things that are passed from one generation to another, beliefs and systems and statements of faith. And so the Pharisees mastered themselves at knowing the traditions of the Mosaic law. And part of that was, I did a little research back into Exodus and first 20 chapters of Exodus are the story of Moses, how he was born and came into being, and et cetera. And you know the whole story. And then at chapter 20, he goes up on Mount Sinai and receives the Ten Commandments. And that totally changed his life and the life of the world, frankly. And then from the next 20 chapters, there's 40 chapters in Exodus, it's all about the traditions that Moses wanted to pass on because it's all, at that point, it's written about the practices of the Jewish faith. And he goes into minute details as to how they're supposed to live their lives, how they're supposed to relate to one another, what they do here and there in every circumstance of life. One of the silly ones that I read was how detailed they got. It's the story of a gentleman who built himself a cistern, forgot to cover it, and the neighbor's ox fell into the cistern and died. And so it says, you are required to replace the ox to your neighbor. But you may keep the dead oxen for yourself. I mean, silly, nonsensical stuff that goes into such ridiculous detail. But they followed that. But it's not really ridiculous because at that time in history, that was 1,500 years before Christ, 15 centuries before Christ, the Lord came to the Israelites really to give them a order of life, to literally civilize them in that term, and to bring them into godly order that they would know how to live in a way that is loving and honoring of one another. And so that really was a word that the Lord gave to the whole world through the Israelites as to how to live in a godly way. And the Lord gave them many details of life that they could follow and lifted them out of the chaos of terror and murder and war and fighting and anger. So that's kind of the background. So,
could you move back a bit?
Sure.
We can't see you talking.
Sorry. Sure.
Our hearing is so good.
I understand. Let me get
that.
Jerry, I think you ought to just come sit right here.
Oh, thanks. Jerry, I agree. I like to always see the speaker. It helps. Okay. So, well, with that background, that helps us understand a little bit what was happening in Mark chapter 7. So let me read, and we'll go from there. You can read along with me if you want. The Pharisees and some of the experts in the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, Jesus. They had observed a few of his disciples eating meals without having purified, that is to say, washed their hands. They not only had to wash their hands, they had to wash all the way up to their elbows. The Pharisees, in fact, all Jews, cling to customs of their ancestors and never eat without scrupulously washing their hands. Moreover, they never eat anything from the market without sprinkling it first. There are many other traditions they observe, for example, the washing of cups and jugs and kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the traditions of our ancestors, but instead take food without purifying their hands?" Well, this was all Jesus needed to really bring some godly wisdom into the situation. And he knew what was going on, of course, in this overzealous holding on to these traditions. So Jesus tackled him head on. He says, "How accurately Isaiah prophesied about you hypocrites when he wrote," and I'm going to read from the actual quote that he's quoting from Isaiah 29. "The Lord said, 'This people draw near with words only and honors me with their lips alone, though their hearts are far from me. And their reverence for me has become routine observance of the precepts of men.'" That really hit the Pharisees right between the eyes. Their practices became routine observances of the precepts of men. So what Jesus was saying in a few words, but very directly, is that all these rituals you're following are strictly precepts of men. And he's basically telling you can't see the forest through the trees, you strain out the gnats and swallow the camels. And so he's trying to tell them there's much more to the traditions of men and the traditions of God's presence within them to honor God. So let me go on. Then the quote in Mark, "You disregard God's commandment and cling to what is human tradition." He went on to say, "You have made a fine art of setting aside God's commandment in the interest of keeping your traditions. For example, Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother.' In another place, 'Whoever curses father or mother shall be put to death.'" And Jesus used that example because he knew that would really get to the hearts of the people. It's very natural for all of us to honor our father and mother. It's a natural desire of us to love the people that gave us birth and so on. And evidently, they even went to extremes in certain cases, I'm sure not all cases, to figure out how these traditions would let them off the hook a little bit in terms of taking care of their parents. So a very poignant example that Jesus was using. "Yet you declare," he's saying, and I'm going to read the way I read it in one version that was more distinctive. It says, "You have set aside God's commandments in interest of keeping your traditions. Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother. Whoever curses father or mother shall be put to death.' But you say, 'It's okay to disregard your needy parents,' telling them, 'Sorry, I can't help you, for I have given to God what I could have given to you.'" And that's called korban. That's a Hebrew term. Well, he got to the people real big with that one because they could all see how foolish that was and unkind to their own parents. And then he goes on to explain. He says, "That is the way you nullify God's word in favor of the traditions you have handed on. And you have many other such practices besides." He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and try to understand. Nothing that enters a man from outside can make him impure. That which comes out of him, and only that, constitutes impurity. Let everyone heed what he hears." At this point, Jesus was making a very strong statement. And he used the example of the traditions of the Pharisees, and particularly in regard to their manner of handling food. Food is such a basic activity of us, and they went to all sorts of rituals to how they would handle their food. So Jesus used that as a strong example of how they don't follow the routine observances but they looked for the grace of God to give them that love to honor one another and honor the Lord. So he said, hear me, nothing that enters from a man from outside can make him impure. That which comes out of him, and only that, constitutes impurity. Let everyone heed what I hear, what he hears. So he was strictly referring to what we eat and consume physically, because there's a lot of things that come into us, into our mind and heart and so on, that's not good for us. And that was true at that time as well. Listening to all sorts of things can bring a lot of foul stuff into our bodies. So he's specifically using the example of how they eat to tell the story of it's what comes out of us and how we respond to what we have in us is going to be the key. And then he gets very dramatic, and Mark is known to be very direct in his reporting of the gospel, and he gets very direct in this next paragraph here. And then when Jesus got home, away from the crowd, his disciples questioned him about the proverb. Are you too incapable of understanding, he asked them. Do you not see that nothing that enters a man from outside can make him impure? It does not penetrate his being. It does not penetrate his being. That means that there's a lot of things that can penetrate our being, our soul, in terms of our attitudes and relationships with others, what we hear, what we see, what we do. But he's, again, specifically talking about the food issue, because he says it does not penetrate his being, but enters his stomach only and passes into the latrine. Thus, he renders all foods clean. So he was trying to use this eating practice to come up with the idea that you must understand that what I provided for you is clean. In other words, food to eat and give you nourishment and hope. And that reminds me of the story from Peter's vision in Acts 10, where you may recall when Peter was resting on a rooftop and he had this vision of this canvas being let down with all the four-legged animals and the other animals in the kingdom. And then he heard this voice say, get up, Peter, slaughter, then eat. And Peter's response was, sir, it is unthinkable. I have never eaten anything unclean or impure in my life. And then the voice was heard a second time. What God has purified, you shall not call unclean. So he was trying to, again, get through to Peter that nature has provided you with a clean, pure way of life. So don't try and add to that with your traditions. So thus he rendered all foods clean. He went on, what emerges from within a man, that and nothing else is what makes him impure. And then he talks, wicked designs come from the deep recesses of the heart. It's our heart, our thoughts, and our actions that are really what cause us to be impure. And then in my Bible gets very graphic. He says, acts of fornication, theft, murder, adulterous conduct, greed, maliciousness, deceit, sensuality, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, and obtuse spirit, all these evils that come from within, and that's what renders a man impure. So what Jesus is doing here is he's confronting the Pharisees, trying to bring a new testament, a new word to the Jewish people. He's trying to say that what you're following is not fully of God. You're following mere human precepts to try and think that if you follow these practices, you will grow closer to God. It's the old concept of the works gospel. And so Jesus is trying to bring them a new word, a New Testament. And the New Testament talks about, and I'm going to quote from Galatians 5. And in Galatians 5, Paul speaks and says, my point is you should live in accord with the Spirit, and you will not yield to the cravings of the flesh. That's the bottom line. We should live according to the Spirit, and not yield to the cravings of the flesh, which we all fight. It's obvious what proceeds from the flesh. It goes on, lewd conduct, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery. And he goes on with a long list of evil actions and thoughts. But then he also says in verse 22, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patient endurance, kindness, generosity, faith, mildness, and chastity. Those are the traditions that Paul makes it quite clear that we should practice those traditions and live in harmony and honor our neighbor and our God. And Paul says, against such, there's no law for these wonderful gifts of the Spirit. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. So if we belong to Christ Jesus, we have that grace. He's always saying, my grace is sufficient to conquer those passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's lead. So that's the whole message that Christ was trying to get across, is to live by the Spirit, not by mere human precepts or traditions. And throughout the New Testament, Jesus really is establishing new traditions. So traditions are a good thing, and we pass it on every day in our own faith walk. And a few of the traditions that I felt we could refresh ourselves with is, first of all, develop the tradition of holding up the shield of faith to ward off the attacks of the evil one all day, every day. That's a practice or a tradition we can follow. And we just went through that wonderful book on meeting the enemy with Charles Stanley. And then, secondly, walk in the gospel of peace. And one of my favorite lines is from Philippians 4. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Dismiss all anxiety from your mind. Present your needs to the Lord in every form of prayer and in petitions full of gratitude. Then God's peace, which is beyond all understanding, will stand guard over your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. So the tradition of prayer and scripture reading is something that is a very valid tradition for us to follow. And it's really the way of life. And he speaks to us as to how we are to live and to enjoy his presence with us, the Spirit of God. And lastly, live the tradition of our faith by our constant awareness of Christ in us, our hope of experiencing his glory. It's one of my favorite lines from Colossians 1. So, live with the tradition of our faith by our constant awareness of Christ in us, our hope of experiencing his glory. And then, everyone knowingly or unknowingly desires to meet and know Jesus. Let me read that again. Everyone knowingly and unknowingly desires to meet Jesus. Now, how can I say that? What about those atheists who want no part of him? Well, they unknowingly want to meet Jesus because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus. And if you know him, you know the Father. So basically, that's what all mankind is seeking. All mankind is seeking that kind of relationship with God because that brings the peace which is beyond all understanding. That's what all mankind is searching for, that peace in their heart. And the only way we achieve peace in our heart is to live the tradition of knowing that Christ lives within us and he is our hope of glory. So his Spirit dwells in the believer's heart. And all of us here are extraordinarily privileged when we stop and think for a moment that we have given the grace of faith, which is a gift from God. None of us can brag at how well we've heard the word and taken it up and practiced that tradition. It's a gift. It's purely a gift. It's a mystery to me. Why was the Lord so generous to me that he would give me the gift of faith to know him so intimately? It's an extraordinary gift. But I also remember the Lord saying, to them that is given much, much is expected. So we come here every week to learn more about him and realize what the Lord would expect of us to pass on those traditions that will bring more people to him. And what I'm going to say here is that often people read and hear more from another's heart than they do from another's lips. Oftentimes people read and hear from another's heart as opposed to what they say on their lips. So if we live with the awareness of Christ in us, our hope of glory, we will emit a special grace to others. And then we can't brag about that. We can't say, oh, proud of me and all that sort of thing. No, we just come into that reality of Christ in us, our hope of glory. And when we're more aware of that, come into that reality as we pray each week and we study the Word, and he's passing on that and enriching that tradition every week as we're here studying what he's telling us in his way. It's called the way. And so we want to pass that on. And Jesus tells us to love one another as I have loved you. And that's a very good tradition. So may the tradition bless all of us and continue. May we continue to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God here. So thank you. God bless you all. Love you guys. Yes, Jerry.
I wonder if we could ask an additional question.
Sure.
From the events that happened in the United States yesterday around all of the horrendous difficulties and unexplained murders and terrible things that went on, that 7:19-22 that we just read, what happened, because when I watched the TV for hours yesterday, everybody who was a big authority on what's going on said, we don't know what's causing all, we're completely dumbfounded. Well, it's answered in 7:19-22, and we as a Christian group ought to address what's going on.
Yes.
In this country as answered in that chapter.
Exactly, and that's the tradition that we want to pass on as the Word of God. And the basis for this is that we don't follow the worldly ways, and to the extreme today, the pagan tradition is this moral relativity. We won't get into that, but it's horrendous because it denies God. And bottom line is what you're talking about is if people deny God, they're going to fall into
people that